Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to the new year and chaos. Amen?
Chaos.
We're in here today because we had some work done in the gym, and it's not quite ready for us to move back in. Anybody ever have a perfect plan and this doesn't work out?
Every day.
No.
So we're here today. We'll be back in here next week. But just enjoy. We're all going to do the best we can. Here's the thing about today. Jesus is still Lord no matter where we're at. And we're going to praise Him. We're going to worship Him. And we're going to hear from Him. And that's all I really care about. So if you're a guest with us today, we're in the living room of the house, and we're just going to hang out for a chat. Next week, we'll move back into the formal den. All right? Lord God, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for a new opportunity to worship. Lord, I know it's a new calendar year and all of that, but Lord, really, each day is new because of your mercies, because of your goodness, because of your love and your grace for us. Lord, let us just just take comfort in that. Lord, let us be enveloped by that. Lord, as you wrap yourself around us, Lord, I pray that we would just reach out and receive this, or that we would embrace it, and Lord, that we would reflect it. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and Lord, let us give you all of your, all of the glory and honor that you are due today with our all in all. We love you in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, thank you that we get to gather together in your holy name today. And Father, we get to proclaim your kingdom come. Father, we get to proclaim your love into our lives, your grace into our lives, Lord, that we get to proclaim to all the world that there is a different way to live. Father, it's the way that you give us. Father, it's a way that leads to not just eternal life, Lord, when we die, but Father, leads to new life. Today, in this very moment, Lord, that we can accept it for ourselves. And Lord, and through that transformation that you give us, Lord, as we die to our old selves, Lord, and we live into this new self that you give us, Lord, that you sacrifice for us. Lord, I pray that we would see a difference. And Lord, and just as we have been singing, Lord, that we would begin to trust in you more. And Lord, that we would ask of you, Lord, that we would call, we would cry out to you, Lord, that we would hear you. Experiencing illness and sickness, Father, those who are in need of a healing touch in relationships, Lord, maybe in their jobs, Lord, maybe in their families, and Lord, all the different areas of our lives where we need to call upon you, Lord, I pray that you would respond supernaturally, Lord, not just gently, but Father, in a powerful way, Lord, in a way that we know that you are with us and that you are for us. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. All of the powerful and matchless and mighty name of Jesus. All the people said, amen. 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 Y'all may be seated. Ashley called me on Friday, and she was out of town, and she walked in, I think, and she said, do you think we ought to do children's worship? I said, won't bother me a bit. I said, really not make the parents really happy. So she decided to do that today, which I'm thankful. If you have our little this little community handout that some of the chairs have, they're all over the room, all over the church. If you need one of those, if you don't have one, if you're a regular attender here, pass that to someone that doesn't have one because you probably don't need it. But there's links on there for the sermon notes today, since we don't have slides or any of that. Oh, we do have slides. Boy, Dallas has been, he's been hard at work. Wow, that was, gosh, can y'all give me 30 seconds? Let me rethink my whole morning really quick. Let me see if I marked it. I kind of redid, and so, okay, well, so we're good. By the way, thanks to Dallas. He did the yeoman's work and really did a lot of things to make this happen today. And so thanks to him and Abby and everybody else. That I don't know what you carried in or didn't carry in. So thanks. Yeah. He didn't carry anything in?
His
son. Yeah, there we go. There we go. So anyway, thanks to them and everybody that makes it happen. So I don't forget, I'm just going to say it now. When we leave, if we would put these chairs in stacks of eight, if you're a guest, feel free just to walk out and not do anything. If you're one of the normals, stay here and work because I know where you live. And stack some chairs for us so we can get those out of here this afternoon. We have a giving link. Yeah, so if you want to give today, I'm going to pray for your finances. There's the giving link. You can do it online. It's also on the community handout, and there's little boxes around. You can't hear back there. I can't hear in the back, which that means some of y'all up here will hear really well in just a moment. Is that better? I'm just going to keep talking and make sure. Can you hear any better? Is that better? Okay, now they're doing good. Okay, so I'm going to start all over, and we're going to start from the beginning. For those that are in the back that came in after we started, this is not normal for us. We had some work done in our worship area, and that didn't quite get finished on time. And so for it to, everything to work out, we just moved in here today, and so we'll be back in there next week. But I think this is kind of nice every once in a while. Amen? Yeah, I think it's kind of nice, and just a little different. Enjoy it. So I'm going to pray for your finances. Again, it's important to you. It's important to God. And so let's pray. Lord, we do thank you first and foremost for the money that you have given us. Lord, all the provisions over our lives, Lord, and I hope we know, and if we don't have this belief or this understanding, I pray that we would start transforming into this belief or understanding that it all belongs to you anyway. Father, as we are yours, Father, you give us what we need to sustain us. And Father, and anything above and beyond that, Lord, is just a huge blessing. And so as we give today, you don't ask for all of it back. You just ask for a small portion of it back. And Lord, and then you use that to multiply your kingdom. I pray that we would be responsible. We would be good stewards of what we have. And Lord, that we would bless others. Lord, bless each giver, Father, as they give. Father, it's a huge sacrifice for them. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just... fill them and bless them in the ways that you know they need it. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're starting a new sermon series for January, maybe a little into February. And so I want to read you this quote from Dallas Willard. Dallas Willard says, the greatest, Dallas is a, not this Dallas, but Dallas Willard, an evangelist, a preacher, a writer, a speaker, all sorts of things that he does in ministry. He says this. He says, the greatest issue facing the world today, with all of its heartbreaking needs, is whether those who, by profession or culture, are identified as Christians will become disciples. In other words, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from him how to live the life of the kingdom of heavens into every corner of human existence. I think it's important that we realize that there's a calling on all of our lives. Not just to be participants at church, but to be disciples of Jesus, which means we learn, we're students, which means that we come along somebody else that knows maybe a little more than we do, or that's been practicing it longer than we have in whatever area of ministry or Christianity, and learn from them and do it, but then also then to become the practitioner, to become the one that goes out and does it and teaches somebody else and helps somebody else learn that. We are, this new series is called Show Me the Way. Now, we took a great survey of a lot of folks and figured out a great title about Show Me the Way, because here's why I think it's important. It's because in life, even when we already know the way that we're going, whether you're traveling or whether you're doing something at home or at school or whatever it might be, sometimes even when we know, we sort of lose our way because we get distracted. Or we kind of lose sight of the goal, or whatever it might be. We get kind of detoured by something that's happening. And how do we find, when we go to somebody and say, would you show me the way, it's important that they know the right answer. Now, if I want to learn how to bake a good cake, not just a Duncan Hines out-of-the-box cake, right, even though those are fine, anybody wants to bake me a yellow Duncan Hines with chocolate icing, I'm all for it. Okay? But if I really want to learn, I don't go to the Toyota dealership and go to the service department and ask them how to bake a cake. Okay? Now, there might be some people there that know, but what I really should do is go to a baker and go to someone who really knows how to bake a cake. And not just knows, but they've done it. And they practiced it. And some of you referred me to them because you've had their cake and it was really good, right? And that's the kind of person we need to be asking how to bake a cake if you want to know. Now, why would that be any different in our spiritual life? Right? If we're struggling, or if we're trying to decide what the right way is to live, the right way to Jesus, the right way to God, the right way to heaven, then I'm not going to go ask somebody that doesn't know anything about it. I'm not going to go ask somebody that doesn't believe in God. I'm not going to ask somebody that doesn't know the way. I'm going to ask somebody that actually does, because we want to have the right answers. And here we are in, we kind of feel a little insulated. Some of you might feel isolated in Lubbock, Texas, from kind of the way the rest of the world lives. But the world is here. And how we live really does matter. And let me tell you, there are boxes of Christianity being sold all over the world right now that tell you just have to do one thing, or you just have to act one certain way, or if you just do this, right? Quick fix Christianity. And that's not what I want for you, but I do want you to know the right answer. So I'm going to start today with the Apostle John. John was a fisherman. He was part of the community and culture where Jesus was born and where he lived. He was a fisherman, and he was with Jesus. Right after Jesus was baptized and he called some folks to follow him, John was one of them. And John really became one of his closest friends, one of his closest disciples, one of his closest followers of Jesus. And what John did, John stuck to him like glue, because John was really interested. John was a good Jewish boy growing up. He was a good Jewish man. He was a good Jewish businessman. He was a devout Jew. He knew all the laws and the rules. He knew the synagogue. He knew the practices. And when Jesus came along and Jesus started talking differently, incorporating some of the Jewish culture, but saying, here's what you really should be doing. Here's where you got it wrong. John said, I want to listen to this guy. Because he knows, it sounds like, and it looks like he's been practicing. It looks like he's not just a student and he's not an apprentice, right? He is the practitioner, and so he stuck with him. He saw Jesus perform miracles. He was there when Jesus raised people from the dead. He was there when Jesus was crucified. He was there when Jesus said, somebody y'all are going to deny me. He said he was there when Jesus ascended into heaven. Right? So, he knows the person to ask. He knows the person to look to. And so I look to John because John knew where to go. So I believe John has the answers. And now, I'm going to read to you a scripture out of John 14, 1 through 6. Right before this, the disciples are kind of struggling with some of the things Jesus teaches. Anybody struggle with some of the things Jesus teaches besides me? Yeah, we just kind of have questions. And so they're asking questions, and it's really one of my favorite parts of the Bible, because Jesus says, okay, guys, he goes, it's going to get hard, and you think it's hard now, well, it might get a little harder, and he goes, but take heart, it's okay, right? I've overcome the world. I've overcome all your struggles. You just have to follow me, work with me through these things, and we will persevere, okay? But here's what he said after that. He said, do not let your hearts be troubled. This is John 14, 1 through 6. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back, and I will take you to be with me, so that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place that I am going, where I am going. But one of his disciples, Thomas, by the way, we call him Doubting Thomas, because of some of his questions that he asked, and this is one of them. He said, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus is talking about all these things. It sounds really good. I'm going to go prepare a place. He's going to talk about mansions and rooms and paradise and streets of gold and all where there's no more sickness. And Christ is going to talk about all these things eventually. And he says, and you're going to go with me. And they go, time out. We don't know where you're going. How can we get there? And Jesus answers in verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so that begins our journey for us over the next 5-6 weeks on Jesus showing us the way. And a lot of this you're going to hear and you're going to go, I know this already. Let me just tell you that these are the basics of our faith. These are what we need to be reminded of. These are the things that we need to take to heart and so we can show other people. And in this way, Jesus described, he really only described two ways of living. And I love this because I like simplicity. I like to really, anybody who's with somebody would just give us the answers, right? And just say, here's what you do. We know it's going to work out. Well, Jesus gave us two of those. And he said this in Matthew 7, 13 through 14. He said, first of all, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who will enter through that one. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who will find it. So he's saying there's a narrow way and there's a broad way. There's a narrow way that leads to blessings and eternal life. There's a broad way that's a lot easier, right? But it leads to destruction. Now, I'm a mountain biker, and I love to go places, and I love to mountain bike and go, y'all have heard me talk about Utah and Colorado, and one thing I always say is when I'm with somebody new, and we stop, and we start looking, they always say something like, man, this view is incredible, or this is so beautiful, or I didn't even know this existed, how could there be something like this, and what I say is always, and let me tell you, the only way you get to see these things is if you ride your bike. If you hike, if you go on these narrow pathways, if you go to places where nobody's really ever been, where very many people get to go. Because, first of all, nobody showed them, nobody told them, and first of all, they didn't take the adventure. They didn't take the time to learn how to get there. And so they miss out. We all miss out. And that's what Jesus is saying right here. He's explaining to us to believe and to follow. Not just to hear, but to follow him and to do what he's calling us to do. And so it's going to be pretty quick today, this little introduction. And so the first truth that we learn from Jesus when we ask him to show us the way is him declaring that I am the way. That I am the way and the truth and the life. And so the first one is Jesus saying, I am the way to God. Now, he says it really clear. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except for me. I'm just going to tell you, this is not a popular teaching, right? Because now we live, and we always have, this is the reason Jesus is saying it, but we live in a culture where nobody wants us to tell them how to do anything, right? Any of y'all not like to be told what to do? Are the hands that are raised are the same ones that just said you wish somebody would just tell you the answers? See, this is how we live. We live in this struggle. We live in this contrast of our lives. And Jesus is saying, I'm giving you the answers. And he says, I am the way. But yet some of us want to go, but there's got to be more than one way. Why is Jesus the only way? Because there's all these other religions. There's all these other methods. There's all these other ways to pray. There's all these other things of spirituality. There's all these other gods, little g, right? And so why is Jesus the only way? And I really meant to bring my Bible up here. Anybody have a real Bible in their hands? Oh my gosh. Oh, hallelujah. Can I see your Bible? Like, we're in church and no one has a Bible, including the pastor. Thanks. So, this is a really cool Bible. I like this. Can I look at all your notes? This is my. If you believe what this says, if you call yourself a Christian, just those two things. Really, if you just call yourself a Christian, really, you have just made a statement that you believe what this book says. And this is the book that is written by the inspiration of God. Now, we can get into all sorts of commentary about how and why this came to be and all that. I don't want to do that today. You can take me to lunch and we'll talk about it. Because I think you should pay for my lunch if I'm going to have that great of a conversation with you. But, I mean, it really is true. If you say you're a Christian, this is what you believe. And if this is what you believe verse 6 that Jesus says, I am the only way to God. If you walk in this building, right, then you are pretty much, I'm going to say this because I want to give you a little wiggle room. You are saying that you agree with me and all of us that this is what we believe. 100%. This is it. And when other people say something, you say, in a very kind way, it says do everything in love, right? I mean, you don't hit them with this book, especially this really pretty one, and this is really a nice Bible, right? Because this one won't even hurt. Give them a heart attack. Right? Look, this is in the back. They have John 3:16 on the back. It says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I'll pay you later for letting me have this Bible. Right? I mean, this is fantastic. But we are saying this is what we believe and there is no other way. And if you say that there might be another way or that there is another way, then you don't believe what this book says. Right? And the world doesn't want us to say that. And maybe you don't even want to say that. I remember many years ago, after worship, in the worship center, somebody came up to me, and I really didn't even say it like we're talking about today, but they said, no, but I know what you're saying, but really there are a lot of other ways to God. And I said, explain that to me. So they went through all these different things and all these different spiritualities and all these different religions. And I said to that person what I just said to you about Scripture. And they said, well, I know what it says, but. And I said, there are no buts. Jesus is the way. And guess what? That person never came back to church. And I don't like that, and I hate that, but if I'm going to be your pastor, if this is going to be our community of grace and of love, it's also a community of accountability. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I almost said that. Right? Because it is. See, the first important truth is that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Listen to what he says also as we go down into Matthew verses 14 and 15. Back up to what we were reading in 7. It says, for he himself is our peace who has made two groups, one, and has, who has made the two groups one, right? He's combined the believers and the non-believers, and has destroyed the barrier, dividing the wall of hostility by setting aside in his flesh the law which it commands and regulates. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. In one body to reconcile both of them to God by the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to those who were far away and peace to those that were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. He was talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. He was talking about, somebody said in Sunday school, the holy rollers and the ones they didn't think were so holy, right? The ones they thought were going to heaven and the ones they just knew were going to hell. And he says, no, I'm here for everybody. And so Jesus, he is the only way to God, but everybody can get to God through Jesus. It's I'm going to call it a group now, Christianity, heaven, people of God, people of the way that believe in Jesus. It's the most inclusive, exclusive group in all of creation. It's an exclusive group because there's only one way to God, but it's the most inclusive group because everybody can get there, right? And so he tells us how to do that. Every person, every sinner, you call upon the name of Jesus, have your sins forgiven, to repent, and to receive his power, and he saves us. And so the second important truth is, when we ask Jesus to show us the way, is that he declares himself the Word made flesh, the living representation, the living witness of God, the living reflection of God in our lives. He is the way to truth. And as he does that, there's four different things. One of them is Jesus declares this. So when he says, "I am the truth," right, he is showing that what he says is the truth, but he's saying that me, physically, right here, flesh and bones and blood and muscles and eyes and ears and all of this, I am God and I am the truth. And so when he was arrested and he was standing before the governor, right before Pontius Pilate, there were all sorts of things that were going on. And Pilate said, "So, you are a king then?" And he really, it's a question mark exclamation point in the way we say it. But Pilate declares it. He says, "So you're a king then?" And Jesus says this. He says, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. And everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Here it is. You listen to this. And when we listen and we take it in, we start practicing it. We start living it out. And we start not just practicing it in our own lives, but we start practicing it in the life of other people. And boy, that's where it gets tough. That's where it gets harder. That's where it gets sticky in relationships. But that's where Jesus wants us to be. He said, "Everyone on this side of the truth listens to me." Jesus came to the world to prove and demonstrate truth. In John 18:37, he offers that truth to set us free from the bondage of sin. But then also, this truth, the way, the truth, and now to life. And this is where the rubber meets the road today, for us right now. Because that's what I think really matters, is why do we do this? Why do we worship together? Why do we pray? Why do we act out like Jesus in the world? Why do we help other people? Why do we do all these things? Because he says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, life means eternal life, but listen to me, it means life today. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7 is where we want to land on that. And really, it's so important because he says this. He says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by our grace that you have been saved." Right there. By grace that you have been saved. "And God raised us up with Christ and seated him in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches and grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ." Right now, he made us alive, and then also we will have eternal life. So today, if you want change, it's all about Jesus. Today, if you want a difference in your relationships, it's all about Jesus. Today, if you want your prayers answered, it's all about Jesus. Now, not prayers answered the way you want them to be, the way God's going to answer your prayers. Like right now, a beautiful soul that goes to our central campus, name is Joy Mutos. Joy's she's just a beautiful person. She's a piano teacher. She's been a great wife and a great mom. She's been a great disciple. She's been a great part of the church. And so today, she's in that, I think the medical world calls it the transition from this life to the next. Right? She's in transition. This is what she and I talked about, right? This idea of not just life today for her, but eternal life. And here's what she said. She said to me last night, she said, "Every one of us goes through something. The question is, who do we go through it with?" And she said, "I'm going through it with Jesus, so I'm going to be okay." Right? That's somebody that's, as we say, is dying. That's somebody that Jesus would say is entering eternal life. She has the right perspective. The question for us is, do we have the right perspective? The way to new life. How about the way to abundant life? last point here, the way to abundant life, John 10:10 says, Jesus said, therefore, very truly I tell you, I am the gate. For the sheep who have come before me and thieves and robbers are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and they will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes to only steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and to have it to the fullest. I want full life. Not just eternal life. I want a full life now. I don't want to wait until the end, and Jesus didn't either. God never intended it that way. He wanted it for us to enjoy it now. Heaven on earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right? A little bit of heaven breaking into our life every day. What everyone else offers, right? Anybody already forgotten some of your Christmas presents, what you got this year? Yeah, I heard, yeah, the rest of you don't want to admit it because the person next to you gave it to you, all right? I mean, those things just go away, right? Anybody ever look through your closet and you run upon a shirt or a pair of pants or something, you go, I forgot I even had that. Anybody ever had that and the tag's still on it? Yeah, I mean, none of that stuff really matters. We keep trying to fill a void, and Jesus says, I want to give you abundant life, a life that's different, a life that's full of change. All that other stuff attempts to kill and destroy what Jesus wants to put in your life, that truth of abundance. Don't be deceived. And so, finally, this way to eternal life. See, there's the new life, abundant life, and then there's eternal life. And I know that some people, that's all they will ever get because they miss Jesus among them. They miss Jesus today, but they get eternal life because they believe in him and they've called upon him. And so, he told them, he says, in John 17:1-3, this is my last scripture, he says this. This is right after he had talked to them about having trouble in the world. And then he looked to heaven and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's what we need right there. We need to know that Jesus is the answer. We need to know that Jesus is the way. And I'm just going to say it because I know some of you are thinking it, and when you have these conversations with people, which I hope you get to have, somebody's going to say, isn't that arrogant that Jesus says he's the only way? Isn't it a bit presumptuous that he is the one that's going to get us to God and eternal life? And I have to go back to holding the Bible and saying no, because Jesus was God. He said it. He proved it. He showed us over and over and over again. He showed us the way to that eternal proof. That's what we have to understand. And it's not arrogant if it's the truth. Amen? And we have to be careful about that because we don't want to sound arrogant about it. We don't want to sound holier than thou. We don't want to say that I know all the answers. I don't know all the answers, but I know the one who does. Right? We sing a great worship song that I don't know what the day may bring, but I know the one that brings the day. Right? That's Jesus. And that's where we need to land. And through our struggles and our conversations and the blessings, to always give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. To always turn to him. And so, one thing that I want for you, and we'll pass these back out and we'll set them somewhere, or a couple of the, are there any? Hey, King. I'll say, who's left in here? Sam. Don't pass these up. If you already have one of these, you can take another one if you want to give it to somebody. This is a little static plane that you can put on I like them on the bathroom mirror because I see it a couple of times a day. We put one in the office because we see it as we walk in and out. But maybe just a little, I'm not a big New Year's resolution type of person, but I do believe in goals because I think we have to have a goal. Jesus even says that we should set our eye on the prize. And so for 2024, thinking about the way of Jesus, I desire more for not just myself, but for all of us, these bullet points. Jesus' passion for prayer, faith, application of Scripture, right? Not just being a student, but putting it into practice. Boldness. In our prayer time this morning, Felicia prayed that we would have boldness. I think that's fantastic. I don't think she's even seen this yet, and she prayed for boldness. That I would pray for more action in my life, and I desire more heaven on earth. I think that if we will work towards those, if you will pray for those, and you will work to instill those in your life, I think the way will become more apparent. And when the way becomes more apparent in our life, I think the way will become more apparent in other people's life. So here's my prayer for us today, is that we just would not just be just say that we are Christians, and we would just not say that we know the way, that we would practice, and we would point other people to. So let's pray again. And by the way, if you have a prayer request, eyes are going to be closed, heads are going to be bowed. If you just have something you want to lift up to the Lord, I'm not going to know it, but He does. But I believe it's important to recognize that. So if you just want to raise your hand as I pray, the Lord knows what your prayer is. And He is the one that you should talk to. Lord God, I know I have some personal prayers. Lord, I have some things in my life, Lord, that I just need you to intervene in, Lord, that I need you to be a part of and lead and guide. So, Lord, hear my prayer this morning as I pray for all of us. Father, that in the days and weeks and months to come, in the new moments of our lives, in the next breaths that we take each and every day, Lord, I pray that we would be more about you. Father, our family of faith, Lord, our community of family here in this congregation, Lord, we are all about Jesus. There will never be anything more important than Jesus Christ in this community. Father, and if there is, Lord, I pray that you would reveal it, and Father, you would set it aside, Lord, so you would be in your rightful place, Lord. You would be enthroned, but yet at the same time, Lord, you would be with us. Lord, hear our prayers today. Lord, be with Joy and her family. Lord, Joy is good. I know she is. Lord, I pray for her family. Lord, that you would just give them strength to face the days to come. Father, you would reveal the joy of heaven, the joy of eternal life to them, even us here on earth. Lord, I pray safety over those that are still traveling. Lord, a lot of our own friends and family, they're out and about. Lord, get them back to us, Lord, safely. Lord, there's people in the hospital today. Lord, they need a healing touch from you. Lord, there's families in crisis today. They need a touch from you. Lord, I can't even name everything. But Lord, you know. And I'm going to trust in you because I call on you. Because you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. In the name of Christ, amen. All right, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you're the one who is the most famous one, the one who is the way, the truth, the life, the one who does save us. Lord, we just commend ourselves to you. Lord, you lead us as we lead this place. Lord, show us the way. In Jesus' name, all people say, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.